السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama e Kiram, most respected brothers, and also our sisters who listen over receivers. A fortnight ago we were discussing an incident in the life of Hatim, Sheikh Hatim Rahmatullah Ali. He was a student of Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Ali, and he has spent almost 33 years in his company. So the Shaykh asked him, how long have you spent time with me? How long have you got this association with me? How long have you been in my company? How long have you been seeing me performing my salat, making my ibadat, making my tilawat, making my dua and istighfar, watching my relationship with people? Because that is the purpose of being in the company of someone's Shaykh. First of all, the choice of the Shaykh has to be a very, very considered one, especially at a time when there is so much of mixture in everything, when there's so much of bogus people around, everyone claiming that we've got marifat of Allah Ta'ala and we can perform miracles, and what they do is perform magical tricks, which any non-Muslim can also do. It's an art. Magical tricks, it's an art. Hypnotism, it's an art. What can a person do? How many things a person can do? Or make one do when he has hypnotized someone? If somebody is hypnotized, he can make him do a lot of things. So there's so much of scandals, so much of scams, so much of bogus in everything. So when a person is making the choice of a Shaykh, and the Shaykh is merely there as a guide, he's not Allah. People say that people worship their Shaykh. Worship means you make ibadat. That is worship, that the person makes ibadat. The person submits himself totally, irrespective of whether it is according to the Quran and Sunnah, against the Quran and Sunnah. Whatever the Shaykh says, the person makes amal on it. Then that is worshipping. There are so many peers who are making the women folk press their legs and massage their heads and kiss their feet. Now will we call them peers? We'll call them shaitan number one. So the peer sahab also has to be chosen carefully. The peer is supposed to be there who has got ilm of deen, ilm of sharia, ilm of Quran, ilm of sunnah, whose heart is burning with the love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who's got ishq of Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his heart. Then that is the person that you choose. He must be able to guide according to the Qur'an and Sunnah. He does not say, follow me. What he says is, follow the Qur'an and follow the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But how are you going to follow it? You have to look at some example. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Make your salat as you see me performing my salat. So he gave them verbal instructions also that this is how you should make your salat. But at the same time, he said, watch me, how I am making. Make your salat like that. Of course, in our times, we are going to watch the people also, how they are making salat. Those people of knowledge, how they make their salat. The people of haqq, the people of ishq of Allah and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But we should not be mistaken that sometimes it is due to old age, due to sickness, due to weakness, that the person makes ruku in a certain way. He sits in a certain manner. So there again the person must have intelligence. He mustn't say, because my shaykh was sitting and reading his salat, so therefore I must sit and read all the time. Or my shaykh couldn't go into sajda properly, so therefore I too must make my sajda just like that. Then that is worshipping. Because the person is not following the Quran and Sunnah, now he is just following blindly. So the choice of that shaykh has to be also a very considered one. One person, one bogus shaykh came to his house, one bogus one. The one who was only interested in his money, in his chicken, in his fish, and in all the best of food. So he came, 5 days, 10 days, 20 days, the shaykh is still not leaving from the house. So the murid began to cry, started shedding tears. So the Peer Sahib asked him, what is your problem now? Why are you crying? He said, no, I'm crying because you will never come back to my house again. He said, you, I love you so dearly, so much khidmat you make, how can I not come back to your house? I will come, definitely I will come. He said, no, you won't come, that is why I'm crying. He said, no, you will come, I will come. And he said, but first if you go from my house, then you will come. You're not talking about going from here. How are you going to come back? So first of all, that has to be very carefully considered. So Hazrat Shaykh, we're talking about Hazrat Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, that he was Shaykh Kamil. And those people who are Shaykh, and they are Kamil, then they do not have their gazes on our pockets, on our wealth, on our properties, on our gold and silver. What kind of a Shaykh will that be? How can he connect us with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala if his gaze is on our pockets? One so-called Shaykh went to one business house and he said, I'm a Shaykh, I've got so much of murids and I got this and I got that. And I'm doing a collection for this madrasa of mine and for this masjid that we are building. So that person gave him 1,000 rands. He said, only 1,000 rands? Such a big business you got? That's all. He said, but so many others also come, so therefore take what I'm giving you. He said, no, you will have to give me minimum 10,000 rand. Now that shaykh was talking about tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Now what kind of guidance will he give to this person when he is not prepared to accept the 1,000 which that person gave? So now he's asking me, he said, Maulana, did I do the wrong thing? I didn't give him. I said, no, carry on. I said, you did the right thing. In fact, you should have reduced it by another 500. So as a Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, well, in any case, 33 years, so what did you learn? Because Hazrat Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Alayhi says, how long should a person stay in the company of a pious Wali Kamil, Shaykh Kamil? So he said, you must stay until you become like him. That means your taqwa must become like his taqwa. Your piety must become like his piety. Your sajda must become like his sajda. Your du'as must become like his du'as. Your humility must become like his humility. Your walk, your talk, your actions, if that person is a Waliya Kamil, I'm not talking about the bogus ones, then it must become like them. Then we will say that we have now attained something. Otherwise a person can remain sometimes for years in the company of the Shaykh and he has learnt nothing. He has learnt nothing. He doesn't give up his bad habits, then what has he learnt? In fact, many people use the company of the pious and the righteous and the mashayikh just to make their dunya right. So he said, the first thing that I learnt is that people have muhabbat and love for something or the other. Everyone in this dunya must have love for something or the other. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself also did not prevent us and prohibit us from loving certain things of this world. In fact, in that ayat of the Quran Sharif, which you may have heard many, many times in bayanat, in the speeches and talks, قُلْ إِن كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. So in there Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala asked Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam to make this announcement. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is told that you must make this announcement. Tell the people. In kana abaukum wa abnaukum. If your parents, your fathers, your mothers, but here the fathers, wa abnaukum, your children, wa ikhwanukum, your brothers, wa ashiratukum, your families, وَأَمْوَالٌ اِقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا, the wealth which you have accumulated, hoarded, those businesses in which you fear losses, those homes which you dearly love, if they are more pleasing to you, more beloved to you, than Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then striving in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, making mujahada against your nafs, sacrificing your wealth, your life, your health, everything for the sake of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then you must await Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's order to come to pass. That means it is not prohibited to love these things. You can love your wealth, you can love your children, you can love your parents, you can love everything. But the love of all these things must not exceed the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When there is a conflict, on the one hand there is a pull towards one of these loves, and the other side is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's love demanding something else, then that is where the test is going to be there. That what are we fulfilling? So he says, I saw that in this world everybody does love something or the other. But whatever he loves and whomsoever he loves, he leaves them behind. Or he leaves it behind and he goes away. Or they leave him and go away. Something or the other happens. So I made my intention that I will love good deeds. Good deeds. And by now 120 times I've explained, because we get these doubts in the mind, that is why I have to repeat this. That when we talk about now good deeds, the person said, I will love good deeds. So now he's going to search for these good deeds in some other world. So he's not going to search for it in some other world, it is in the same world. The good deeds are going to be with our hands, with our feet, with our eyes, with our wealth, with our children, with our wives, with our families, in our relationship with all these people. If we are going to fulfill the hukam of Allah Ta'ala, that whatever is pleasing to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam we are going to do, then that becomes a good deed. So he says, I made it my objective of life that I will only do those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, good deeds. So that when I go into the qabr, then my deeds will come with me. They will light up my grave. As I say here, what we are really doing with the good deeds is that we are charging those emergency lights. In our masjid too, we have those emergency lights, and in many places they have that. That they are charged all the time. But they stay off. It remains off. We don't see it on. But yet it is plugged on and it is charging. The moment it becomes dark, the moment it goes dark, power goes off, that light comes on. That is exactly what we are doing with our good deeds, that we are keeping that emergency light charging all the time. The moment our eyes will close and we are going to go into the dark grave, then these are the a'mal which will light up that grave immediately. The namaz will light it up. The zakat will light it up. The hajj will light it up. The fasting will light it up. The charities will light it up. The smile in the face of a Muslim will light it up. Humility will light it up. Sincerity will light it up. Taqwa will light it up. Sabr and shukr will light it up. That is what we are doing in this world. So he says, this is what I did. I started doing good deeds because I know that will remain with me forever and ever. In other words, I ignored the temptings of nafs and shaitan. Indifference and negligence, heedlessness, that is the sickness of our time. We are indifferent, unconcerned. We do whatever comes in our heart and mind. Our heart and our mind has become our God. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. In other words, you see the person who has made his passion his God. We have made our passions our gods, our Allah. whichever direction our passions pull us, we go, irrespective of whether those passions are halal to fulfill or haram. Throughout the world, that is the sickness, that is the weakness. And we will find a justification for our sins. So heedlessness, negligence, ghaflat, as we say, ghaflat. Greed and ghaflat, these are the weaknesses of ours. Greed is taking the person to zina. Greed is taking him to stealing. Greed is taking him to fraud. Greed is taking him to so many different kinds of sins. The usurping of the rights of the orphans, of the widows, of the poor, of the needy. The digesting of the properties when it comes to inheritance. What is the bottom line? It's greed. Because the person believes that in this way I will become rich. And if I have to distribute all these things, I will become poor. Or at least I can become rich overnight. What takes the person to the gambling dens? People who are multi-millionaires, what is it that is taking them to the gambling dens? We'll say the man was poor, extremely poor, so he took a few rands and he went to the gambling den expecting a fortune. But in all probability, he will lose his last pair of pants too if he's going to carry on like that. But nevertheless, we'll say, well, that man was a poor man. But go to Las Vegas or whatever they call it and so many other places, wherever they got these casinos, and here in our country now they say there's more than 36 of them. So what is taking the millionaires there? Greed. So greed is a sickness of our time. And ghaflat, for the mu'min is ghaflat. Unconcerned whether my Allah is pleased with this or not. We see anything that we wish to. Whereas what we should be saying, na dekhenge, na dekhenge, hargiz usko na dekhenge, jine dekhne se, ay dosto mera rab naraz hota hai. When we are tempted to watch on the television screen, on the porn sites of the internet, or in the filthy magazine something, then at that time this is what we should be saying. We will never look at it. I will never look at it. I will never look at that which displeases my rab. If he had made me blind, would I have been able to watch this? At that time I would have been telling each and everyone, make dua, Allah Ta'ala give me sight, Allah Ta'ala give me sight. Of course those who are blind, they can get jannat through their blindness, we are not talking about that. But we who with our sight are displeasing our Allah, using his very bounty and ni'mat and gift, then that time we should think that if he had made us blind, would we have been able to see this? Would we have been able to cross the streets? Would we have been able to drive our cars? Would we have been able to see the faces of our fathers and mothers and children? Would we have been able to see the colors of the rainbow? Would a blind person have been able to see how this masjid looks like? So what a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So hirs, greed and ghaflat, these are the sicknesses of our time. All the others, you can call them the eggs. The hen lays eggs. The rest are the eggs. These are the hens. Therefore, you hear in my zikr program, Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de, mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de, badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de, khudaya fazl farma dil badal de, خدایا فضل فرما دل بدل دے ہوا وہ حرص والا دل بدل دے میرا غفلت میں ڈوبا دل بدل دے یا اللہ this heart of mine which is drowning in the ocean of greed and indifference change the condition of my heart. Man has learned the art, man has got the science of transplant of hearts. So we are asking Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to transplant a spiritually sound heart into our bodies. We say, oh my Allah, my heart has gone beyond the limits. It is damaged so seriously and so badly that even a bypass is not going to help anymore. What I need is a complete transplant. My heart is filled with greed, with arrogance, with jealousy, with malice, with pride, with evil passions and desires. So, Ya Allah, what I want is a complete heart transplant. So these are the sicknesses of our times. So therefore he says that I made muhabbat with good deeds. Now what can we do? We can't proceed past the first point through different angles. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan upon us is unlimited. So let us also make muhabbat with good deeds in this world. Unfortunately, our problem is that either we are too passive or we are too active. The cartoons, disgusting, terrible, horrible, we just cannot accept it. We have to raise our voices, our protests. We must make sure that they don't repeat these kind of things. All that has to be done. But returning from Pakistan, recently what has been happening there, now one just wonders, will these type of protests bring the help of Allah Ta'ala? An elderly woman, and this happened in Lahore, an elderly woman, she was sitting on the pavement and she was selling Pepsi Cola. And then comes this mob. She doesn't even know the difference between Pepsi or anything else. And they took the bottles and smashed it on her head. They went into the shops and they looted and raided, and Muslims raided the shops of Muslims. They looted the shops of Muslims. They damaged the shops of Muslims. They destroyed and burnt the shops of Muslims. Now was this the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We have our right to protest. We have our right to take a placard and show that person in front of his shop that you must get rid of these goods that you are selling. But overnight, if that person was not able to get rid of some stock or the other which came from these countries, then do we have the right to do these type of things? Is this not zulm? Is this not injustice? Does it not bring the anger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Does it not bring the wrath of Allah ta'ala and the curse of Allah ta'ala upon that community that does zulm of this kind? But who is there to listen? Because we are doing it in the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we say. Now all those properties that were destroyed because they were selling one item or two items that came from Denmark or Norway, how many years it's going to take that Muslim again to surface? It may have taken him a lifetime to build up that little bit of business. Now will he get the du'as of anyone? Or will those people get the du'as? If you had to go to their homes, you would have found so many things from America there, from Britain there, from Denmark there, and from other places there. So if the same thing had to be done to their homes, that you dash into their homes, burn them, destroy them, why? Because your television is from America. Because those jackets are from Denmark, because this is from there, or the butter packet that you have in your fridge came from Denmark. So do we have the right to just go and burn his house? Ha, oont re oont teri kunsi kal sidi. Camel, oh camel, which part of your body is straight? That is our condition. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all hidayat. Of course we should do that which is within the parameters of Sharia and make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, give them such kind of... Ya, either give them hidayat. To give hidayat is not difficult for Allah Ta'ala. So we say, Ya Allah, either give them hidayat, give them guidance. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, no, he sets out with a sword to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he set out with the sword for? To assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala gives him hidayat. Then he becomes Amirul Mu'mineen. And then he rests in the Rosa Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala, who caused tremendous amount of problems for the Muslims in every battle. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him the title Saifullah, Sword of Allah Ta'ala. He becomes Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala. So we should ask for hidayat. Ya Allah, give them hidayat, give them guidance. It's not difficult for you. But if they have become arrogant, stubborn, obstinate, and they've made up their minds that we will never ever accept Islam, and we will continue the tyranny, the persecution, the torture, the mockery and ridicule, then Ya Allah, give them that same azab that you gave to the nations of the past. Shake them up. That we can do. But to damage property in this manner, or to cross the boundaries of Sharia in our protest, then that will only bring more wrath of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you, and the entire Ummah the tawfiq of Amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, and the problems of the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah Ta'ala bless me, bless you, and the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.